Welcome to the Social Workers radio talk show on WCDB Albany 90.9 FM with co-hosts Dr. Eric Hardiman and Alyssa Lotmore. Here at the Social Workers, we address issues important to our communities with social work students, alumni, and community partners as our guests.
As part of the University at Albany School of Social Welfare, we hope to take social work beyond the classroom and agency settings and directly to the public, because the public is the client. Catch us on air, online, and anytime.
You are listening to WCDB Albany, and this is the Social Workers live radio talk show. My name is Eric Hardiman, and I'm your regular co-host here with Alyssa Lotmore. Welcome back, Alyssa.
Hey, Eric. Great to be here today.
It is great to be on the Social Workers show always. We enjoy hosting the show, and we have a variety of guests on the show. If you're tuning in for the first time, we talk about issues related to the community, to society, to social work, social welfare issues, policy issues, practice issues, all sorts of topics. We really have a wide reach here at the Social Workers, and we're excited about upcoming shows we have. We have a lot lined up this year. We've got a lot of great interviews and resources for folks too, right, Alyssa?
Yeah, and one of the things I like is a lot of alums have reached out to want to be on the show to talk about their areas of expertise, new publications that they have came out with, just things that they're doing in the community. So I really love that we can hear from our alumni who are really active in the social work world, whether it's writing, direct practice, or changing policy.
Yeah, so if you're listening out there and you are an alum of the School of Social Welfare at the University at Albany, let us know, reach out, and there are channels where you can find us. We'll tell you those channels at the end of the show so you can get in touch. But if you want to be interviewed on the show, if you're interested, if you have a perspective or a topic you'd like to discuss with us that relates to the social workers, that would be great. We'd love to hear from you.
So with that, Eric, can we talk about our guest today? Because I am excited to have this grad, a 1981 grad of the School of Social Welfare, come on the show.
Absolutely. So we have with us via Zoom today from across the country, we have Jordan Scher. Jordan is an alumnus of the University at Albany's MSW program, the Master's in Social Welfare, which he received in the class of 1981. Jordan has had three professional careers, first in the nonprofit sector as a social worker and administrator, second as a middle school teacher, and currently as an author. All of his work throughout these careers has been informed by his social work training in the graduate program here at the University at Albany and by his experience as a social worker. His current book, which will be published later this fall by Atmosphere Press, is fiction, yet it relies on extensive research into the genocide in Bosnia between 1992 and 1995, as well as interviews with survivors of the concentration camps and other atrocities that befell the majority Muslim population in that country. Jordan is currently living in Northern California with his wife and has two grown children. Jordan, welcome to the Social Workers. We're excited to have you here today.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I really do appreciate being on the show. Albany is near and dear to my heart. The city, as well as when I went, it was SUNY Albany.
That's right.
I'll have to remember it's University of Albany. Are you now, still the Great Danes? Is that the?
The Great Danes. We're still the Great Danes. We've just, we're now called the University at Albany. Yeah. Okay. That's the proper terminology, but we're excited you're here. Like Alyssa said at the beginning, it's always great to have alumni on the show and to hear sort of what you've done since your time at Albany. But I guess I want to get started even before you did your graduate work. What got you interested in social work, and how did you end up in the field of social work? What's your journey into this profession?
You know, I probably, like a lot of younger people, and I went to Oswego undergrad, and I wasn't sure why I went to Oswego. It was just sort of a course we had that I was, it was sort of proscribed to take that course as a teenager. But I think it was my senior year, I took a class, and I think it was called Family Theory. And it really struck me and it really intrigued me. And I said, what, you know, afterwards thought about what can I do? What is it? How can I learn more about this and get involved in something related? I took a couple of years off. My last job was connected with the Capital District Psychiatric Center in Albany, not as a social worker, actually in the sleep clinic. I was a polysomnographer, which was kind of a weird job, but there was a social worker there who I befriended and we would have chats, conversations, and I was convinced to go to grad school. So the couple of years off was good for me. And I was much more focused in grad school.
Great. And so tell us what's your, you know, so you got your MSW and then what?
Well, I had a few different jobs. Actually, the first was at Capital District Psychiatric Center as a psychiatric social worker. And I'll tell people to this day, and even when I had my LCSW here in California and I was supervising MSWs, I said that particular experience really was a foundation for what I did the rest of my life as social worker, actually as teacher, and to be honest, even now as writer. And I think you had said in the intro, you know, much of my work has in a sense been trauma informed, but it started then. And, you know, I saw the most extreme behaviors but really, honestly, fantastic people and fascinating people, including those I work with, colleagues. But the inpatients back then, it was inpatient setting was unlocked, but people remained. There were people chronic schizophrenic and had other diagnoses. But from that point, I was there for about a year, moved on to another organization in Albany. I don't know if it's still there, Center for the Disabled. It was a day program for children and adults with developmental disabilities, and then moved to San Diego. And worked in for a long time in rehab, physical rehab medicine. So learned a lot about neurology, neurologic impairment, helped to develop a program, actually started a Department of Mental Health, State Department of Mental Health funded program. But I, along with the executive director, actually created it as a 501c3 separate from the hospital it had been housed in. So, I mean, I've had numerous experiences, eventually, writing grant proposals that funded various programs, funded a psychiatric case management program while in San Diego to work with people who are homeless and who had AIDS or HIV. That was pretty, because that particular organization was mostly doing counseling and I was charged with writing grant, starting programs and overseeing those. And the last social work job I had was here in the Bay Area. I was executive director of an organization, and I will be honest, it was not a good fit for me. I was much more sort of the human service, humanistic organization. This was much less so. And I joke around, but, and actually I did, it was never been about finances for me. And I did okay as a social worker, but I say, well, where could I make less money than in nonprofit? And I said, I know, I'll teach. So I got a teaching credential. It worked out fine. And I've loved what I've done. And as a teacher too, I worked in communities where there were some gangs in one of the communities I worked in, the kids were very worried that their parents were going to be taken by ICE and deported. Mm-hmm. So when I say trauma-informed, all the way from the outset of my training at University at Albany, throughout, that social work foundation never left me. It's who I, it's just been part of me for my life. And then more recently has been writing.
Well, I love how you say that, because a lot of our guests, or I'm sorry, listeners are students. And sometimes when I'm an advisor as well for some of our advanced standing students. And sometimes they just have an idea of what they want to do. And that's the only thing they want to do. And that's what they're going to do the rest of their lives, you know, with one certain population. And so many times, I mean, myself included, I start out in the school setting. I went to higher ed. I'm doing a podcast now. Everything changes. And your social work, but that social work skills, that foundation stays with you. And, you know, it sort of journeys with you as you navigate through different populations and different areas of social work practice. And now you're, you know, did teaching and now writing. So I'm curious how your experience as a social worker, which you just listed, how that has informed both your teaching and your writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I it was, you know, I said in the last teaching job I had, and it was teaching middle school, sixth grade, in Redwood City in California. And this is a neighborhood that's primarily Latinx. You know, these kids came from very economically disadvantaged situations and households. Many of their parents were undocumented. And it was important for me, and really this is throughout my career and whatever I've done, it's important, sounds so basic, important to develop relationships, whether it was with clients or consumers as a social worker or students. And that was really the essence of it. And once I did, the kid trust is a biggie, right? And when these, I'm talking specifically about teaching, but certainly about consumers as well. But once you have their trust and it's genuine and really is basic social work stuff, so much can happen. And I never saw myself as doing for, but more facilitating and helping people find, you know, their strength. And I used to say, even if you change 5% or 10% and things feel that much better, then our relationship has been a success. Then you're moving forward. You've gotten the skills to move forward. So that included students. But understanding how trauma really in so many situations affects not just our consumers, but students, whether it's the neighborhoods, whether it's their family situations, you know, there was certainly alcoholism and substance abuse, there's grieving, there's death. I mean, there's all sorts of things. So I think it's important to understand that even in our personal relationships, right? Family relationships. In terms of writing, and as Eric had mentioned, you know, my book is specifically about the genocidal campaign on the part of ultranationalist Serbs from 1992 to 1995 in Bosnia, where primarily Bosniaks were, Bosnian Muslims were targeted. And I've done a lot of interviewing, which again is another skill that a social worker needs to have, but I've done a lot of interviewing of survivors of that war, of survivors of the concentration camps. Again, it is about relationship and empathy and understanding, and understanding as best I can and being open to understanding what the trauma was like for them. I cannot imagine, and I'm sure you cannot imagine, what is it like to be in a concentration camp and really torture was the primary tool, rape. There were rape camps. There were upwards, statistics say there were upwards of 35,000 Bosnian Muslims. Mostly men and boys were targeted who were killed. And there were upwards of 50,000 women and girls who were raped. The loss, the displacement from their country, there's a pretty large diaspora here in the States, but around the world. And many Bosnian Muslims have been reluctant to move back to Bosnia, for example, because there's still, we can get into it if you want, but there's still many political challenges and ethno-nationalism that exists there. But for me, interviewing, I did a lot of reading, read interviews, saw documentaries, feature-length films. I've spoken to researchers who've done, you know, research on denial and revisionism that still exists in parts of Bosnia. But all of it really, honestly, boils down to my being able to understand as best I can, you know, to show the empathy and understand. And that hopefully comes off in my writing.
And how did you How did you initially get interested in this? I mean, obviously this was in the news at the time,
right?
But given your professional journey, what was it that sparked your interest to start to interview people and to kind of say, this is something that I think is worth shining a light on?
Yeah. So, you know, a few years ago at the end of my teaching career, I guess, I was very frustrated with the immigration policy in this country, as, you know, I'm sure many were or still are to some degree. And, you know, these are folks who are being demonized. My wife's family immigrated to Utica in the early 1960s because they were quite poor, and they took advantage of the economic and educational opportunities. My own grandparents escaped the pogroms of Eastern Europe, where Jews were being persecuted and worse, and killed. And I put those three things together and I said, you know, I've wanted to write, I didn't know about what. I ended up interviewing 14 immigrants and refugees from different countries, including Lebanon, Iran, Mexico, Vietnam, my wife from Italy, India, other places. And I published a book a couple of years ago. It's on Amazon. It was self-published, called Our Neighbors, Their Voices, True Stories of Immigrant Exodus. I don't think it was particularly well written, but I really did so because I wanted to tell their stories. And in the process, I met two women from Utica who were children at the time of the war in Bosnia. And honestly, I didn't know much about it. And I don't know how many people know much about the war in Bosnia.
Yeah.
In Utica, there's a large Bosnian immigrant population. So I'd go back to Utica in the late 90s, visit, you know, my wife's family. And all I'd hear from family, her family is, oh yeah, the Bosnians are coming into Utica and they're cleaning up the neighborhoods. They're fixing up the houses. And I said, well, that's great. I knew a little about it, but I didn't know much. And I wasn't curious enough to know much. After I interviewed these women a couple of years ago, honestly, I think it touched a chord in me, being second generation Jewish American, touched a chord in me. And I couldn't let it go. And it was from that point, I ended up deciding to write more. Yeah, go ahead. You had another question?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you were just, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't want to interrupt you. Okay. So I ended up actually, one of the women I interviewed for an As Told To memoir, and after about 6 or 7 months, her family decided they didn't want it published. I came to understand why. There are many Bosnians that I've spoken with who say, yeah, thanks for giving us a voice. There are many of us who don't want to speak about it. It's just too horrific. So I was a bit disappointed that this woman did not want it published. However, honestly, she gave me some clues about what her family had been through. And a couple of days later, I decided I'm going to write a novel. So it's become very truth-based fiction novel, which is what is going to be out this fall.
And that is titled And Still We Rise, a novel about genocide in Bosnia.
Yes.
So what should we expect as a reader if we're going to, you know, be picking up this book? How would you describe it?
Based on
these truths.
It's, you know, it's actually a pretty hard-hitting book because I interviewed a man. This guy he's amazing. In fact, he wrote the foreword. His name is Satko Mujicic, and he lives now in Brussels, but he was in two concentration camps and he was 20 years old while living in Bosnia. So the first half of the book, Satko and I would have many a Zoom call. And I found him online. I saw he was interviewed on YouTube and I reached out to him. This is how I've met a lot of people worldwide actually who are connected and I feel a kinship. But Satko not only told me about his experiences, but he took the manuscript and he would write comments and say, well, you know, it couldn't happen this way, or it really, you're demonizing the Serbs and you don't want to do that. And I didn't want to do that because I was angry at first writing the book about what happened, but there were people who were Serb who were good and tried to help and were not part of the whole process. But the first part of the book and the concentration camps are hard hitting because there was some very real, I mean, this is truth-based, and Satko told me some very, they could be considered disturbing stories, but the purpose of the book is not gratuitous violence. It's speaking about enlightening people about what happens in these concentration camps. You could say the word concentration camp, certainly we think of the Holocaust. And we know how horrible the gas chambers were. But we don't know, there were differences. These were not labor camps in Bosnia. They were really camps of torture and rape. And the first part is kind of is hard hitting, and I want to give a timeline and tell the story of one family's journey through the concentration camps. And eventually they get out. and they resettle in, well, they temporarily resettle in Croatia, in Germany, and then eventually in Utica, because I know Utica well enough. The social work angle of this, to be honest, the second part of the book is how one experiences grief, how one heals from something, from experiences like this, and how challenging it is for others to find that sense of balance. And ultimately, the characters never, they'll never totally be able to let go of this. How could they? They've lost a lot of family members. They've lost a lot in their own lives. They've experienced, you know, incredible trauma. But I want to, in some sense, give readers permission, no matter what trauma they experience, even though this is, so, you know, based in what happened in Bosnia, that it's okay to accept help. It's okay to seek help and accept help. And it's important to grieve. It's important to have support. And that will really help you move as forward as you're able to. And that's a lifelong process. And that's the, honestly, that's the social work part of the book that I wanted to make sure, because I think there are going to be a lot of Bosnian people who read this. And I know there are a lot of Bosnian people who cannot talk about it or think, first of all, any sort of counseling or support or help is not really accepted so much in Bosnia or in the culture. Now it's getting better, but that's part of why I wrote the book the way I wrote it.
I was wondering, I wanted to ask you about your intended audience and how you might reach them. How do you see the audience as for a novel like this?
You know, that's been, it's interesting. At this point, I have reached out to a lot of Bosnian organizations. In fact, it looks like I'm going to be invited. There's a two-day conference in Bowling Green next summer. And I think I'm going to be invited there. There's a San Jose State University here, the history department. I'm going to be speaking to them in November. There are a couple other universities I'm speaking with about this. I don't know. I think it's people who are interested in humanity, but that's a broad audience. I think that Bosnian folks will be interested. Maybe more the younger generation, meaning teens, 20s. I don't know if their parents will or will not, but I don't know. I think that's going to be part of my exploration. But like I said, there are a couple of history departments at universities that are interested. So I think it'll be combinations of things.
And what, you know, and this is maybe, an unfair question, but a question I'm genuinely curious about. What do you see as some of I imagine it might be difficult to summarize, but as some of the learning lessons for people in the United States who are not connected in some way personally to Bosnia and to that part of the world, but who are just learning about this from afar? Mm-hmm. What are some of the lessons that you've gleaned that maybe your book might even elucidate further?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, because in fact, for the university events that I'm organizing, I'm truly promoting this as, yes, I'm talking about Bosnia. I've learned a lot and I want to share and enlighten folks, but there are universal lessons here related to authoritarianism. Mm-hmm. Honestly, and again, I mean, this is my own political view. I see that, and probably not my own, I'm sure a lot share, but I see this country as, headed in a way that is not the democracy that we had envisioned. And we could easily slip into what happened in Bosnia. And people might, there's no way, but we see what's happened with the rise of white supremacy and, you know, the authoritarian leaders in certain political parties, there are many lessons. And part of that is, I think I titled the San Jose State event, I titled something about the genocide in Bosnia, universal lessons in rhetoric, rage, and resilience. Because really, it ultimately, neighbors turned on neighbors in Bosnia. The propaganda was enormous on, you know, about how it, basically demonizing Muslims. And it can easily be universalized. Who can we in this country or in any country, and we see it, whether it's the Uyghurs in China, you know, you demonize a group and, you know, we're in for, you know, a lot of pain as human beings. So I think that's it. It's not just Bosnia, but it's universalizing the potential for the destruction of our society.
Mm. Listen.
No, I'm listening to everything that you've been saying, and it's just really interesting to see how you kept that social work perspective and how you stayed true to those social work roots into what you're writing today. And even the messaging that you're talking about now, and you know the what you're hoping people gather from this book, mm-hmm. it's all rooted in social work and that ability to, you know, connect with others and understand and have empathy and to make change. And I'm really interested in reading this book once it's out to really see your take and to hear these stories of, you know, from individuals, like I know it's fiction, but from individuals who didn't feel comfortable having their names attached to the story. Yeah. So you made it more of a fiction and to really be able to understand more. Because as Eric said, some people might not be as familiar. I'm not as familiar as I probably should be with what happened there. And I'm glad to have some sort of insight, especially when it's tied to that social work perspective, because mm-hmm. the social work perspective I really enjoy, as you know, we're a group of social workers right now. So I like when books talk about that, you know, that person, environment, that bigger approach that social workers see.
Mm. And, you know, the last answer I had certainly is sort of dark, but I'm not predicting that in any way. It's really more, let's keep our eyes open. And really, I said resilience, that's the third R, you know, was rhetoric, rage, and resilience. My characters are resilient. And they find ways to hope, and they find ways to connect. And that, I mean, I think in so many ways, that's, I know it's not the answer, but it's an answer to keep from falling into that abyss. You know, is our human connection, is hope that ultimately, I think on some level, most of us have. And that I want to come through in my book. And in my presentations, you know, when I go around speaking and promoting it.
So I want to go back to the idea just for a second, if you would, Jordan. And if you're just tuning in, let me just remind listeners that you're listening to WCDB Albany, the Social Workers Live Radio Talk Show. And we're talking with Jordan Scherr, who has authored a book which will be coming out next month, I believe. And it's called And Still We Rise, a novel about the genocide in Bosnia. So I want to go back to the notion that the fact that you interviewed so many people and really based your writing in the real life lived experiences of persons impacted directly by this. How did you find them? What was, you know, you mentioned YouTube and connecting with someone there, but what were your methods for finding people? Like, tell us a little bit about that.
There's actually a second book I've been working on where, and I'm tentatively titling it, something about the genocide in Bosnia, Voices in the American Diaspora. It's just through, like, for example, in Utica, one of the women who I interviewed for the first book gave me a much more extensive interview for the second book. She then referred me to somebody she knew in Syracuse. Mm-hmm. I knew some people in Boston. There's an organization called the New England Friends of Bosnia and Herzegovina. In fact, I'm part of their book club. And I knew some people there, and they referred me to some people. So it was just keeping, referred to various people. And what's interesting is different parts of the country. I've interviewed people from San Jose, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Boston, Louisville, Kentucky, who not only live in different parts of the country, but came from different parts of Bosnia, and their experiences are very different. Horrific stuff, but they clued me into what it was like to be living during that war. So I could take that and you know, even my you know, those their experiences and put some of that into the novel.
And what were your, you know, not to get too deep into the methodology here, but how did you connect with these folks in terms of the interviews themselves? How did you build trust and sort of as someone from the United States who has not lived through that same experience, how did you get them to open up to you?
You know, I believe people can sense our authenticity and genuineness. And I mean, I'm sure that's what I had done throughout my professional and hopefully even personally, my personal life. So when I initially talked to somebody and they were referred, so even, yeah, they had been referred to me by somebody else. So there was that trust as well, because I had interviewed a person that they knew. But I think it was also just before the interview, just generally talking and hearing, just, you know, said, let me tell you a little about my interest and how I got into this. And I would tell them, you know, in some sense, things that I told you all at the beginning, how I got into it. And I think from that point, it was about trust. And then I could ask, this is again where my social work experience, the questions were, you know, built on the previous answers. And I also had a set of questions I wanted or areas I wanted to cover. And I certainly, I mean, there's a man I interviewed in Louisville who survived the genocide in Srebrenica, where there were 8,372 men and boys were murdered and then put in mass graves. It was the only war crime that was deemed a genocide, even though I look at the whole campaign as genocidal. And this man was 8 or 9 at the time, and his story is just, you know, heartbreaking. We probably met for 6 or 7 hours via Zoom, and midway through one of the, maybe the second interview, he was crying a lot. And you know, crying by Zoom, but I know now, you know, during the pandemic, there's Zoom counseling, you know, organizations, but he was willing to open up. And, you know, and I know what it's like to work with folks who are sad or opening up or grieving.
Yeah.
And so it kind of kicked in, you know, that ability to be there with that person.
So what a fascinating social work journey you've had so far. I mean, it really, to me, and I think Alyssa alluded to this at the beginning, you know, sort of exemplifies the various paths that social workers can take, and that social work is not a, you know, a single faceted, single dimensional profession, but it's a profession that, you know, someone can go from being a psychiatric social worker here in Albany to, you know, to being a middle school teacher, to doing nonprofit administration, to, you know, interviewing and writing about people's stories across the world who have experienced trauma. And you've talked about the next book, but in a more long-term sense, what are your bigger goals? What can we expect next from you after that?
Yeah, I at this point, I like the way, I don't know if you said or alluded to, it's the beginning. No, I'm kind of at the other end of the spectrum. I don't, you know, I really enjoy writing. I've met so many people and I feel very committed to this, you know, to this issue, I guess is not an issue, but to giving voice to truth. And right now that has, you know, that's Bosnia. So the other book I will then be, I have much more work to do on that. There was actually a man who didn't want to be interviewed for the other book. He lives in Florida. He asked me if I would write his memoir. Fascinating story as well, from Bosnia. So whether I go that route, I have some other ideas, you know, other writing ideas. So we'll see. You know, I really have enjoyed what I'm doing now. And I do agree with you. It's in a sense, three separate careers, but they're all intertwined in a lot of ways. One thing, can I also, I don't know if we're getting towards the end of the show, but I had to go by the name Jordan Stevenshire. In fact, okay. That's my website also. The reason being, my first book is Jordan Shire. And every time I Google my name, this much more handsome younger guy from Denver, Colorado, on, you know, bicycling up the Rocky Mountains would show up and I'd say, "Oh, that's not me." So
it looks like fun, though, I'm sure. Yeah.
Right. So I took my middle name. That's the next book is a Jordan Stevens Show, the one coming out in the fall. So
that's actually what I wanted to get into next is how can listeners find out more about your book or subscribe to updates so they know when it's published? What's the, I know you just said your website, but would you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So it's Jordan Steven, S-T-E-V-E-N, J-O-R-D-A-N-S-T-E-V-E-N-S-H-E-R, oneword.com. And they can also read the first chapter. I have that posted. Read a little about me. I have the first book I published is up there. And also there's a join button on the landing page to subscribe so that I periodically will send out blogs and certainly will send out updates as to when the book is coming out. So thank you for that.
Well, this has been a really great interview. And like I said, at the beginning, I love having alums on. It's just something to know that somebody who went through the same school, you know, I'm an alum as well, someone who went to the same school as you, and to see all the different paths that people have taken. It's always really fascinating to have our alumni join us and share their expertise and share their journey through the profession and as it continues to change, which is always really, really something that I enjoy. I find fascinating. So.
Thank you. Just one quick anecdote. My niece, she's almost my niece, my cousin's daughter, is going to begin grad school at Denver University in social work. And she's doing that because of me, which is because she and I have had a very good relationship. She lives here in Northern California. And so she moved to Denver and my daughter lives there and son-in-law, and they're very close. And it's all good. But Melissa said, "You know, Uncle Jordan, I'm going to start my field placement. I'm going to be working in a school with a school counselor, but I don't know if I chose the right thing because what's it going to mean for my future and blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Melissa, what a great placement. You will learn about human behavior. You'll learn about kids. You'll work with people." I said, "It doesn't matter. This is a great start." And it is. So I tell your younger, you maybe first year folks, don't worry about that. There is a long journey ahead and every part of the journey is learning lesson. So
yeah, I love the way Jordan, I love the way you've engaged in this conversation in a way that demonstrates sort of the multiple intersections of these topics. You know, I mean, we're talking about trauma, we're talking about world politics, geopolitics, we're talking about social work, we're talking about migration, immigration. I mean, there's all sorts of topics that intertwine and intersect here in your work. And I think, and also literature and reading and I think the storytelling, I think there's some real power to what you're doing. And I want to thank you for your interview and thank you for the work that you've done. And I look forward to reading the novel when it comes out.
Well, I'll be sending you guys a copy.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate being a guest on the show. I really do. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
So you've been listening to The Social Workers here on WCDB Albany. I'm Eric Hardiman, and I've been here with Alyssa Lotmore, of course. And we've been talking with Jordan Steven Schur from Northern California, who is an alumnus of the University of Albany's MSW program in the School of Social Welfare and has a new book out, which is called And Still We Rise, a novel about the genocide in Bosnia. Thank you for listening. Alyssa, do you have any, I mentioned something at the beginning about how other alumni might want to get in touch with us. Do you have ways to get in touch with the social workers?
Yes, so definitely look at our website, our social media. We're Social Workers FM on Twitter and Facebook. And all our podcasts are always available at the Social Workers Radio Talk Show, simplecast.fm. You can just search the Social Workers Radio Talk Show and you'll find us. My email address is connected to the website. So you can just email me if you are interested in, you know, being on the show and talking about social work. One of the things about this show is that we sort of see the public as a client. We want to have individuals learn about different social work topics and be able to have our guests have a platform to share their knowledge and expertise. So we're always looking for new people to come on and give us a new perspective.
And we love seeing the reach of alumni and see, you know, where people land and the types of important work that they're doing and lives that they're impacting from afar, which it certainly sounds like you're doing, Jordan. So thank you for being on the show today.
Okay. Thank you again.
And thanks everyone for listening to The Social Workers here on WCDB Albany. We will join you next time.